Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn your Bible this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This morning we'd like to talk about the Christian race of life. And we want to talk about winning that race of life, which is really the subject of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus comes, he said, when he comes and with his reward with him. Now, heaven is not a reward. Heaven is a gift of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Heaven is a gift of God's grace for those who put their trust as lost sinners, hell-bound, undeserving sinners, putting their faith in Jesus Christ on his finished work on the cross. But now that we're in the Christian life, that life is now a race. And at the end of that race, there will be reward or lack of reward. And we all stand, the Bible says, every man must give account of himself to the Lord. Every one of us will give account of every day of our Christian life, of what we have done for Jesus Christ. He purchased, he gave us life on Calvary's cross so we could have this wonderful gift. And now we are stewards of his grace. And so the Apostle Paul is giving us an explanation of his own life, of how he's going to win the race and what he has to do to prevent himself from being put aside by the Lord and not being able to be used by God. And so he's talking about this Christian life as a race. At the end of the race, there is an umpire, a judge, and he will determine how we have run this race, and he will reward those who have won the race. But the Apostle Paul tells us that there are some very important things in the Christian life that use this figure of running a race, that are very important to be a winner. Now, I'd like us to pay our attention to verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Now, obviously this is a figure of speech, and it encompasses our whole Christian life. Now, from that day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, repented of your sin, and you were born into the family of God, now you got a new life. Now, in that new life, we are to live for God. We're to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior. We're to live for Him. And at the end of this race, we'll be judged. We'll be judged as stewards of God, of life. We'll be judged of our time. We'll be judged of our talents. We'll be judged of our treasures. We'll be judged because everything that we have is a gift from God. And we're stewards of all these things. But you know, Apostle Paul uses the figure of running a race as a figure of how we live that Christian life. Now, the Bible uses that figure in other places. Hebrews chapter 12, it says, wherefore compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience. Now, the Apostle Paul used another figure, and in Philippians, he said, this is what he said, he says, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth for the things that are ahead. Really, it's the same figure that really describes the overall attitude, the overall action, the overall thrust of what it means to live the Christian life. It's like running a race. And now, I've never been a very good, very fast runner. I think I'm faster than some. You know, I remember Dave, Micah Potter was here. He was living in with us. He's a missionary kid. His parents are missionaries in Hungary. You know, we just figured it out the other day. We've had over 30 different people live long term in our house over the years, some as much as up to 2 years. And so we always seem to have somebody. But anyway, so that particular day, Micah Potter here, we had a work day, and I didn't have a car, so I left my car at home or something. Somebody was using it. It was a work day. And I went down to the house and got something, and I ran back. And he says, "Pastor, you're running?" I can't ever remember my dad running once. Now, I don't do too good at running anymore. My body is too fragile. But running. What is your thinking about running? What is your thinking about running? Now, I've suggested that they have some, over the years, it hasn't been taken well. I've suggested they have some track in gym class where they have to run, you know, competitively among themselves, you know, a quarter mile or a mile, you know. I think that'd do wonders for some people to have to run. And, you know, because you can really help understand the Bible if you have to do that. Now, I was in track for a little bit, and I tried to run the quarter mile. And, you know, that's quite an experience. I found out if you're going to run the quarter mile, you have to start out what I considered fast. And then the last lap, you have to go real fast. Well, in our field house, that was 4 laps, a quarter mile. And you know, you have to go real fast the first 3. And, you know, by the end of the 3rd one, I was dead. And you were supposed to go about 30 to 40% faster on the last lap. That's what it means to run a race. That's what it means to run. That's what he's saying. So run! How are you living the Christian life? You know? What's our attitude? What is our spirit? How are we facing our Christian life? Lackluster, without energy, poking, you know, what are we doing? Now the Bible says Christian life is like a race, and you're running. So run that you may obtain, it says. You know? We're not running to be last. We're running to be first. We have a Savior who's worthy of our best. But it says in running this race, there's something that is going to have a great effect upon how you run. You know that? There's going to be some significant things are going to be have an effect on how you run. And so he says, So run that you may obtain. Run. Are you running? Ask yourself, honestly, are you running? Are you running? I mean, if you're at fast pace and you have to kick the last lap to really go forward. You know, a lot of people, when they get old, they want to go slower. You got to put it in higher gear. And you know, that's what I'm beginning to learn. That's what it means to get old. You know, something simple like go out and close the chicken coop doors. People in the house don't know. I have to. Okay. It's there. But then it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery or the prize is temperate in all things. Temperate in all things. The word temperate is the word self-controlled. Self-controlled. Now it says in the world they do it, and they're temperate in all things. You know, if you're going to be an athlete, let me tell you what. If you're going to be a track star, let me tell you what. You aren't going to be eating 10 donuts and 5 sodas and 20 peanut butter sandwiches and expect to do anything. Now, when I was in wrestling, my biggest failure was after 2 or 3 months of not drinking soda, I couldn't handle it. And I'd get desperate for soda. And man, that just takes the strength right out of your body. Just like that. Makes you a wimp. Well, it says in the world, people are temperate. They're going to be a great athlete. They're going to be temperate. They want to win. It says, but we're on a higher level than that. We're on a higher level. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You know, it's funny, trophies. Man, when I was a kid, I thought a trophy was the greatest thing in the world. You know, but, you know, you go to Goodwill and see all the trophies you can buy for a buck. They're everywhere. Man. But it says, but we're doing it to obtain an incorruptible crown. So he says, therefore I run, not uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He says, in other words, I have a definite plan. And the Christian has a definite plan. Okay? You're not just boxing the air, you know? Like a little kid just going like this, you know? You know, you're aiming at something. You know what you're aiming at. And the Christians need to know what you're aiming at, what the enemies are, what the principles are. He says, verse 27 is really a capstone verse. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means when I have preached others, I myself should be a castaway, a disapproved, unusable to God. Now he says, I bring my body into subjection. This is a very interesting truth. But we want to emphasize, what does he say? I bring my body into subjection. I bring my body into subjection. Now the word subjection means to make it a slave. And it means I become the master and my body becomes my slave. Not me being a slave to my body. Huge difference. Not me being a slave to my body, but my slave, my body being a slave to me. You know, you think about this. You think about military training. Some of these SEAL trainings and stuff that they have, these military. I'm just guessing because I don't know the exact figures, but you know, they'll have these fellas go without sleep for a whole week. Maybe 2 hours of sleep a whole week. Whew. I tell you what, you know it's what they're teaching them? They're teaching them, you're the boss, and your body is the slave. And your body isn't going to rule over you and tell you when to sleep. You're going to tell your body when it's going to sleep. Here's the principle. And so, bringing our bodies into subjection. And this is important truth for the Christian. Bringing your body into subjection. Now, I was thinking about four drives of the body. I suppose there's more. A lot more. But there are four drives, maybe more, of the body that are natural and normal, a part of life. We have to recognize, and we'll get there, that we are sinners. And our sin dwells in our flesh. But there are natural and normal drives of the body that the Apostle Paul says, I am going to bring my body into subjection so that I can serve the Lord effectively and not be destroyed by my body becoming becoming a slave to my bodily drives. What are those bodily drives? What are those bodily drives? Well, that we are born with. Well, one of them is, and we have to recognize many of these, some of these are, they are right, they are given by God, but they are meant to be controlled under His law. But our body doesn't want to come under God's law. Our body wants to rule. So, the first law would be, one of the laws would be food. You know, a baby is born with a natural drive for food, right? All right? Can that get out of place? Jesus hungered for 40 days, and the devil said, food! 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 Something everybody has. Turn this stone into bread right now. There was a drive there, wasn't it? It was pretty intense. And the devil was using that drive to say, get ahead of God. Get ahead of God. put food in front of faith. Put food in front of God's plan for your life. You can imagine the intensity of that drive, because Jesus was fully human as well as fully God. What would have happened if he would have succumbed to the drive of his body for food? Wouldn't be our Savior, would he? There's real. How about the drive? We call it the sexual drive. Bible says marriage is honorable in all, and undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. A natural, normal drive. But it's part of the body, isn't it? And everywhere in our world. There's temptation aimed at that drive. Can you imagine 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds? Cell phone! I tell you, you talk about perversion, little children having those kind of drives being fed at that young age, no matter we're such a mess. But that's a normal and natural drive. How about the drive that's normal and natural? How about ease or rest? We need rest. Yeah, we need rest. Need rest. Don't go to the hospital, get rest. They'll poke you every couple hours. How can you rest? You can't. But you need rest to heal. But we need rest. That's normal, natural, isn't it? Okay. But isn't there a great, great drive for ease today? The Bible says slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. Isn't that the goal of people today? Ease. Oh, I just want to take it easy. I want an easy job. I want easy money. I just want to take it easy. Now, we need rest. Let me ask you a question. You see, what about an athlete? How's he going to do? Is he going to win? If that drive of his body for rest takes over? Nope. It's real. I tell you what, it's real. It's real. You know, I remember when I was in wrestling in high school at the beginning of the year, we would have so many guys out for the wrestling team. That we would be people to people on that wrestling mat, and you'd kick somebody in the head. You couldn't even move, you know. And so the coach, he just made the practices really as rigorous as he could make them. Run so many laps, do so many push-ups, do so many sit-ups. You know, do this, do that, do this, do that, you know. And praise the Lord, about 2 weeks, we had enough room. Why? Because people love to take it easy. That's their goal in life. Take it easy. The body. You see, the drive of your body takes over. It says, take it easy. The Bible says, no, you don't have your body tell you what to do. You tell the body what it's going to do. And then think of this one, pleasure. Pleasure. You know, they say that America, the religion of America, is actually hedonism. How many ever heard, never heard that word before? Hedonism. Okay? Hedonism. Webster says, it is that belief that pleasure or happiness is the most important goal in life. That pleasure or happiness is the most important goal in life. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich, the Bible says. Google says hedonism is an ethical theory that pleasure, that is in the satisfaction of desire, is the highest good. Is the highest good and progression of life. My purpose in life. Pleasure. Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. Well, is pleasure real? Yeah. The Bible says, my presence is fullness of joy at thy right hand. There are pleasures forevermore. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There is such a thing as pleasure, but the drive for pleasure can take over and become the boss. Become the boss. So, let's understand this. Turn to Romans chapter 7. In verse 18. It says, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The flesh is rooted in our body. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now we have two aspects of it. We are born with these desires. We're born with sexual desires. We're born with food desires. We are born with the need of rest. We are born with the reality of the joy of pleasure. But our sin nature, wants to, for these things, become the boss. Now, there's another part of it, and that is Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, what's it saying? We don't really know who we are unless we know what God says about us. Because we are the biggest deceivers of ourselves. And our sinful nature is deceptive. It's not only hungry. It's not only hungry and never satisfied. Because the sin nature always wants more. Are you ever satisfied with pleasure? Have you ever satisfied? No, you want more. You want more. You know, life for most people is bigger and better. They got to have more and more and more. And it never satisfies. And that's this whole idea of ease. Life is never easy enough. Gotta have more and more and more and more. Yeah, isn't that the goal of life? Well, who's running it? Our sin nature. Our body. Our body is running us. Because our body is never satisfied with enough pleasure. It's never satisfied with enough ease. It is never satisfied. It can come to a point it's never satisfied with enough food. It can come to a point that our body is never satisfied with enough lust. That's where our world is, isn't it? Our world, you know, it's amazing. Politicians never talk about the real issues. I was not a fan of Ron Paul, but they asked him about abortion, and he didn't take my position on abortion, but he says, let's talk about the real facts. The real problem is lust. That's the problem, America. Lust! Take care of the problem of lust, you're going to take care of most of the problem with abortion. But you know, lust is never satisfied. But people don't know that. You know why? Because our hearts are deceptive. And because of it, we don't see the truth. What we think is, well, we're just thinking, well, I'm just acting. I mean, this is life. What they don't see is they don't see that we are enslaved by our body. We are enslaved by our body. Rather than us being the master and telling our body, no, 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 our body says, yes, 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 and we say, okay, okay, okay. Now, think of how this works. Think about how this works. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Actually, go before that, chapter 11. And it came to pass, after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him in all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon. Notice what it says. When kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab. Now, why did David stay home? Why didn't David lead his troops? Why wasn't David in the battle?
I think it was the sin of ease. I think it was the sin of ease.
You know, he was a king now. He was a great king. He had won enough battles. Time, take it easy. Isn't that your goal? You know, you've been saved for 30 years. Hey, I'm going to take it easy now. He's deceived by his own body, own mind. Who is in charge? David or his body? And the Bible says, it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from off the bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful. Wow. His body was in charge. And now his body was really in charge, wasn't it? He almost became disapproved, didn't he? Psalm 51, David said, "Oh God, please don't take away the Holy Spirit from me." He knew what happened to Saul when God took away the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing power of the Holy Spirit to make him king. He didn't want to be disapproved. He wanted to be a castaway, unusable to God. He knew he got to the border of being unusable because he let his body be the master. And we can go throughout the Bible. He that loveth pleasure shall not be a rich man. Pleasure costs a lot of money. Costs a lot of money. That's what you're living for. And it only will get worse and worse and worse. You have to have more and more and more and more and more. Because it never satisfies. But the problem is the body. The body's in control. Of course, the book of Proverbs is written about all these enemies. Written to the young man. Go and read the book of Proverbs. Written to the young man facing life. The strange woman. Knows not that the dead are there. Knows not that dead are there. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Etc. Where's the victory? Turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for the cross Praise God for the resurrection. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:13, it says, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. I mean, you know what it means? If we live after the flesh, we shall die. You know, that's exactly what we're talking about. We live after the flesh. The flesh will be the boss. Flesh will be the boss. And we will be helpless. Boy, you know, your body is really powerful. I mean, in the wrong way. Powerful. It says, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That's what it's talking about. Putting to death. Canceling the rule. There's where America. America is just living in the flesh. Our culture is all about the flesh. Everything about our culture in America is the flesh. And you try to hit that one. Whoa, boy! What was that disease we heard about last week? Huh? ODD, oppositional defiant disorder. Yeah. That just all of a sudden appears when you start preaching against and identifying the lusts of the flesh and the hunger for pleasure that is permeating Christianity. But notice, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. You know, that's great. Now, this is my experience. No middle of the road. There's no middle of the road. You want to play with your flesh a little bit? Whew. You're done for. It's so powerful. You want a little bit of ease? It takes over. You want to live for pleasure? It takes over. You want to look for whatever, food? It takes over. Try to stop it. Go ahead, try to stop it. You know, I always say, you know, we can be critical of some people, but I know this. Every one of us, there's some sins that we hate and there's some sins we love. And we can take pride in the fact that there's some sins that we hate. And some other people love them. But the fact is, every one of us, there's some sins that we hate and there's some sins we love. Whatever that sin is, you can't give it one little place in your life. And that's what Apostle Paul said. Make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision. None. Now, unless you try to battle these sins, don't even know it. Because you're being mastered by them. But if you try to master it and become the boss, all of a sudden, you're realizing that you're fighting something bigger than you and I. I tell you, young person, you You just try to live the Christian life and you'll see how big the enemy is. You have a problem with pornography or something related to that? No problem. No problem. Try to get rid of it 100%. All of a sudden, you're going to realize it's a lot bigger than you. Whatever it is. Ease. You know, I'm convinced that that's one of the great enemies of the mission field. Love for ease. Love for pleasure. Greatest enemies. But there's no greater joy than serving Jesus. And so, praise God, the victory is in the Holy Spirit. Romans 7. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. He makes it so simple as that. Hey, no problem. Jesus died. He rose from the dead. He's living Savior. No problem. No problem. Depend on Him. By faith. Not maybe, but by faith. Rely upon the Holy Spirit who gives us life. Notice the Apostle Paul will close here. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have proclaimed to others, preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Little foxes spoil the vines. We're in a battle. And the sad thing is the battle is right in our own body. And that body and its bodily drives want to take over and run our life. But God says if we're going to run the race, we're going to have to bring our body into subjection. We're going to have to say to our body, no, 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 no. We can only do it through the Holy Spirit. I wonder today, is your body in control? Your body in control. Are you in control of your body? Those little things will destroy our lives. They almost destroyed one of the greatest men in the Bible, King David. Think it doesn't apply to you? Oh, it applies to every one of us. Every single one of us. But we live in a world. Stay with me just one more minute. We live in a world in which everything is about feeding your bodily desires. That's why there's so little success in the Christian life today. We've swallowed the message of the world. But God's word says, bring it into subjection. Now thank God. It's nothing for the Lord. But there's no in between. There's no in between. There's no little compromise. Our body doesn't function that way. They say give it an inch to take a foot. Well, it will take a lot more than that, won't it? Real reality. And thank God the victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just like how it says it. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me? Oh, no problem. Thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Wow, just like that. Not a blink. No problem. You can't do it. You'll fail. But through Christ, no problem. No problem. No problem. Praise God if you're saved. No problem. No problem. All the resources that you need are right there. No problem. And so, bring it into subjection. Don't let it be the master. Don't let it be the ruler of your life. Identify it. Identify it. Identify it. So we can see it. And so we can turn to Christ and have the victory. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word of God today. Thank you for the precious truth. And Lord, pray that you'd help us to be humble and dependent upon you. Lord, any victory that we've ever had, the devil would want to make us proud and defeat us immediately. But Lord, I pray that today the people of God would be helped. I pray that, Lord, some eyes have been opened, some truth has been understood. And Lord, through your grace, Lord, and through the Spirit of God, there will be those that today will say, this is the end. My body is not going to be the master anymore. But through Christ and His Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring my body into subjection. Lest that all that I ever desired in life to please and to serve God would be lost. And so might you be glorified. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.